a higher plane. But there is a deep call to the deep, like a great magnet pulling me. I know for sure that I'll reach that goal, 'cause I feel a pull. I feel the moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, oh, and I agree. So Lord, please come and take control. I feel the please come and take control. Oh Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull. Praise the Lord Jesus. I hope that that's the same pull you're feeling. Amen. Lord calling us to a higher place in this hour. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to have my wife, Sister Abigail and Brother Neri come. They have a special for us.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness is scorned by ones he came to save. Body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory let it be said of me, my source of strength and my source of hope. And find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength and my source of hope is Christ the
telling him, come stay up here and play. he's a good guitarist, so. Amen. Let's take up our offering, Brother Mark. Amen. Let's, if the brothers in the back, they could just bring up that song, That Same Spirit. Key of D. Amen.
Jesus said it. It's expedient for me to go away, but I'll send you another comforter to guide you from day to day. So they tarry at Jerusalem. Same Spirit that they received within my heart abides. Oh, sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. Well, that same Spirit that raised my Jesus up from death and the grave, it will raise this whole body up and take me home someday. Well, they laid him in an empty tomb, and they rolled a stone at the door. Soldiers there to guard him. Oh, they thought they'd done away with my Lord. But on that third day, the stone was rolled away, and he came forth from the grave. And that same Spirit that raised my Jesus up will take me home someday. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, I can feel His Holy Spirit dwelling deep within. Well, sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. Well, that same Spirit that raised my Jesus up from death and the grave, it will raise this whole body up and take me home. Just clap your hands. Let's listen to these musicians.
That's as much a reality as you and I, me standing here. Because He said so. God said so, and He can't lie. Amen. I mean, are you ready for the word? Amen. So let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Dale comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You.
See everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like, turn in your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Now, I want to try to bring this on adoption to kind of a little to a close today. If you have questions and answers, you know, if you'll turn them in, we'll try to cover it and cover some things on it. If you question about the things that we're talking about on adoption and all like that, just ask the question and we'll try to answer the question as good as we can. Do the best we can anyway. All right. And then remember that. Now, I remember Wade and Richard and them's traveling back and all back today. And so just be much in prayer that the Lord would take care of them and all of the things in their travel. Okay. I'm glad y'all are finally catching up to what we're supposed to be doing around here. You finally got around to realizing that we don't have Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. That we have Tuesday night. Hey, y'all are catching on. So that's good. And, you know, so now not this coming Wednesday. Don't get it on the wrong Wednesday now. Just remember, we changed it last year and said we'd just leave it that way, that it would be always on Thanksgiving that we would have it on Tuesday night instead of Wednesday night, where you don't have to be so moving and running and all that are doing. So just remember that now. That's next Tuesday, not this coming one. You know, this coming will be running still in normal doing. Okay? I'm proud of y'all. Y'all are catching on. Yeah. We're running things. Okay. All right. Just remember that. And I pray that the Lord would bless us in that, because it is good to where that we don't have to come up on, you know, you got your Thanksgiving, you got your cooking, you got everything. So that way you can get it done and we can still have the Tuesday night service. And it will also this time work out real great, because that will throw Wade and I where we don't have to miss a service. So we could be able to travel up and hunt without having to miss anything. But that's, you know, that's that's beside the point. Okay. Enjoyed that singing. Appreciate that. That was good. Amen. Also, let's see, Ephesians 1. Oh, yeah, Brother Luis will be ministering this coming Wednesday. Where's he at? Be back in the back, or he? Oh, he's in the, he's my voice. I ain't figured out yet where he coughs when I do or not, but that's okay. We'll try to get it out. All right, Lord willing, Brother Luis will be ministering this coming Wednesday. Okay, so let's go right on the end of the service. You forgive me for coughing. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for everything. And we just praise your great name. And what an hour and what a day that we have. What a time that it is for us to realization and who we are and what we're doing here. Father, your prophet said, when the bride realizes who she is, what she's here for, she'll be an invincible army. So just help us to understand. Lord, give us this day our daily bread, that we may eat that part, that we may feast in you. We love you and we thank you. We commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We're at now in heavenly places in Christ. What's the believer's position? Heavenly places, right? According as he hath chosen us in him. Now remember, we didn't choose him, as he chose us in him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, what's the mystery of his will? To adopt us, right? That was the mystery from all the way. Now, watch it as we come down from Genesis. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in a dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. Watch now. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, I told you before, you take Ephesians 1, you can preach anywhere in the Bible and bring your thought right out of Ephesians 1 and all. And that, you know, maybe we'll get into that part of doing it. But just remember that now and keep it in that part to where that we can understand our background just a little bit for this morning, and then move into where we're at in the afternoon. All right. Here. So remember what we were talking about, that there's three stages of adoption: the new birth, the stature of a perfect man, the growth development, etc., and then the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. All right? Now, what is the thing down through there that has been left or had not come forth? Well, the prophet said the headstone hadn't come, back in the early ministry, talking about that. And we know that the cornerstone was a revelation of Jesus Christ, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. All right? Then the headstone, you know, would be the opening of the entire word, which would be the seals from Revelation 6. Because that's what Jesus preached in Matthew 24. All right? So then you'd have that all in there to lay into order. And that's what I was asking you, or getting you to try to get you to think. The Lord Jesus, he didn't have to be adopted. And he went through these things as an example. He didn't have to do these things. He didn't have to do this, that. It's an example to you and me. So there on the Jordan River, the Lord Jesus started his ministry. He received from there the commission to go forth and bring those things. And an example are set forth as him as to being the child of God or son of God. All right? And it's, he said there, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. All right. That's a wonderful position. But do you realize that each born again believer? Yeah. See, that's why it's so hard for me to background, because I preach the whole message. Do you realize each born again believer that God said, I'm pleased to dwell? Well, no, no, no. Well, he's not there then. I mean, can I put it that way and it be understood correctly? If he's in there, he's pleased to dwell, or he wouldn't be there. He's not going to give you the new birth, contrary to the word. He's not going to give the new birth just because somebody says, I've got the new birth. That doesn't mean a thing. That's our problem. That's our ideas, you know, that we get into in life. All right? But see, he said there, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. All right. He had 3 years of going through. All right. We'll read them in just a second to where that you'll have it, because we had to cut short this morning and still run out. But he had 3 years of the most horrible ministry, as we'd call it, our life. Constantly trying to kill him, trying to do everything about him, you know, doing everything they could to hinder him. And then he goes to Mount of Transfiguration. Well, see, you're going through and following his life through, you know, there and seeing how that he's done this and he's done that and he's, you know, threatened on every hand and all kind of things. He's done everything, you know, trying their best to trap him in this and trap him in his words and things. And he goes to Transfiguration. And God says, now this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Well, look what he does. He adds to it, says, hear ye him. In other words, he says, now, may I quote Brother Branham? He said that sometimes the Father spoke, sometimes Jesus spoke. Now, if that's hard to understand, remember the Father is the Holy Ghost himself. Remember, Jesus is the flesh. To just give you a little example to line that up with it, you know. And then you're not, well, what does that mean? It means it's what it was. Sometimes the Father spake. Sometimes the human element of Christ or Jesus himself would speak, you know. All right. In doing that, see, then you come down through the ministry of the Lord Jesus, as I said, and you see how it works out. But then when he come to Mount of Transfiguration and said, hear ye him, it looks like our thoughts, you know, well, he's done this and he's done that. He's done this and he's done that. He's went through this horrible thing. Now it's going to be a great, glorious thing. No. The most horrible time of the life of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was the last 6 months. Brother Branham said a very short ministry. He said somewhere around, he didn't give exact number, but it you know, we're just saying 3.5 over here and 6 over here. If you take what, make numbers what you want to, it doesn't matter if it's 2 days, it's 2 days. It's still, the point is there. The most horrible time and thoughts was there. Looks like it ought to be different. It's not. Brother Branham, he came into existence there, brought the message, started out back there, had his River Jordan. See? Had his time that God came down and witnessed and was saying, this is my son. Yes. Your ministry will cover the world. You'll go do this. You'll do that. And you'll forerun the second coming of Elijah. All right. A great announcement. Looks like the world would have flocked to it and run and said, oh, great. Now we have somebody to carry us on. You know, we've got the Holy Ghost. We've got, looks like the Pentecostals at least would have caught that. But instead, what did they do? They turned against him. And he spent all of those years, at least he says 33 years, coming to the stature of a perfect man. All right. And there he was, looked like he'd get better, but not, it got worse. They turned him down where he would start off preaching to 500,000, 200,000 or something. Then the first thing you know, it would drop down to where there's just a few. All right. But he was in his schooling, training, stature of a perfect man, growth, development, until he went to Arizona and brought, the prophet said, God take you out, adoption, God taking you out on the backside of the desert, in other words, taking you out to yourself. He took him out back there and he gave him the seals. Did that make him, did it turn the religious world upside down? It should have. Because that was the word of God. That was the greatest thing nobody had ever spoke. We all wondered, what did this mean? What did that mean? It's kind of like my brother-in-law is a Baptist preacher. And he believed that that thing was, you know, there in the beginning was that animal. He said it's like King Kong. You know, you just see it, a great big old animal walking across the earth, you know. And I said, and deceiving everybody? I said, that don't look like it's going to deceive nobody. But see, that was his way. Mankind had no idea what those symbols and things were. See? Why? Because it would take a prophet to bring it. All right, he would come on the scene. He'd enter his ministry. It would climb and climb. I'll repeat this in a minute. But he would climb and climb in his ministry. And then the seals would open. And the world turned even more against him. They literally put him out when the seal. He said, this will drive, what did he say? This will drive thousands of my friends away from me. And it did. It put him out of the religious realm as far as popularities and things. Oh yeah, they wanted him because they wanted the fishes and the loaves that went with it. They wanted him to come because where he would draw big crowds to their meetings and things. Yeah, they wanted him there. Like he said, when the prophet was out, when Jesus was raising the dead, healing the sick, they wanted him. But said, quick as he began to say, I and my Father's one. And did not the prophet say, when you begin to say, I and my Father's one, and these other things, he said, they'll turn against you. All right. See, and it got worse. Instead of getting better and really becoming popular, it got worse until it was just turned out and rejected by mankind. Well, I believe that, don't you? Because I can follow that line. You know. All right, now if I could follow that line with the Lord Jesus, come out to where I believe that it would follow the life and line of Brother Branham, well then I believe somewhere in there we can find ourselves. And that's what I'm trying to get us to do. Why? Talking about what's going on now. Talking about what's been going on since the prophet left the scene. I didn't die when the prophet left. See? When it come on into the 70s and the things like that, I began to rejoice. I preached to you here in 74 that we could pass the year 2026 and not break the word. I've always been upbeat, upgoing, because it didn't get disinteresting to me. It got very interesting to begin to see what was taking place. And then we could see towers falling. This happening, you know, all kind of things that you can take right into the Word. But seeing then the day and the hour that we live for ourselves. See, then some words, I'll end it up and then I'll try to run fast and then we'll pick our message. See, then we ended up by talking about what? You received a new birth somewhere down through there. Maybe before you heard the prophet, after you heard it, that doesn't matter. You received a new birth. And that new birth made you a child of God. All right? And as I was trying to explain that the Jews were entitled to the adoption because it was their lineage and right, but they rejected that. And when they rejected it, it turned to the Gentiles. All right? Coming to the Gentiles, we would then have to be adopted because we had no religious rights, no parts to be doing. We would have to be adopted into the family. And that's your new birth. That's Romans like 8:14, that you would come to being heirs and joint heirs by a new birth. And we'd be where the prophet would cover it like Paul covered it. How that Paul would talk about the adoption and the baby being a baby. It was born a baby. It was born a child. All right? But it didn't have the training, and it would be given a tutor to train you and grow you up through the stature of a perfect man. All right? Then it would come to where that he could trust you and he could give you the signet of authority. We're not trying to go out, and I ain't never tried, so you just think what you want to. You think, well, you this morning you laid it down and you just get it with it all you want to about what you think about me. I ain't never been one trying to go to the backside of the desert and get a message. I got a message. It's called William Branham's prophet's message. I don't need a message. The prophet brought the message. Now it's delivered to you and I. but it's got to be understood. And there's where you talk about. Now, you can place this if you want to exalt it. Do what you want to. It is left for the sons and daughters of God to make this message manifest or make known. That's what I've been trying to do for 50 years. Make known. See? Trying to show it. Stood back there and I was talking a while ago about it. You've heard me tell it over and over. To stand back there 40 years ago and said the biggest portion of the people of this message are going to die and go by the grave. And in no way did I have any form of thoughts, then or now, as that they were not Christians. I'm talking about true born again Christians in the message are going to die and go by the grave because they don't know what the message is. These people running all down doing these things, well, that ain't nothing. I stood back there and told you another thing. I said, it'll come a time. I said, you think it's deceiving when the two souls, two lords and the virtues and all of the things come out back there in the 70s? I said, you think this is hard? I said, it's going to come a time when they'll use the message against you. Well, look what they're doing now. They're picking apart Brother Branham's message. Now they've attacked the doctrinal issues of the message and picking it and picking it. And what sickens me. It sickens me to realize and know that we come down through Baptist churches that women didn't cut their hair. I'm talking about 50s and things, right? And see, me being old enough, 79 years old, I well remember it. And all to do that. And then coming in into the message and seeing the prophet teaching those things about the women's hair. Well, what's the first thing happens when somebody backslides now? If you hadn't paid attention to that, wake up. First thing happens, it's like the man up north up there, that his daddy or brother, you know, he stayed with him, but then he slipped off. First thing they done, women cut their hair. Well, that's Bible. That ain't something Brother Branham come up with. That's Bible. Why would that be the first thing? Shows what it is. Shows it was a demon that was sitting back in there wanting to do that. Showed it was a demon in the preachers that wanted to do these things. And they're getting all kind of things. Okay, get off of it. But listen, getting down to your life, you've got to have an experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. Brings you into the body of Christ, adopts you into the body. All right, to be a son and daughter of God as a baby. Stature of a perfect man. Adoptions, etc., brings you up through that pyramid to come out to the basis of what? Then God can say to a group of people. He said by the new birth when he gives it to you, this is my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Like I said it a minute ago now, I mean it seriously as I can. If you can't say that that don't apply to you, now listen, if you can't say that God said there, I'm pleased to dwell, then he did not come in. You're getting your own things. He didn't come in. But if he was pleased to dwell, then he came in. Sorry for that pertinent, but it's true. Because that's as serious as can be. If he didn't come in here, he knows he's not welcomed. But if he did come into this body and give me the new birth, then he was pleased to dwell. Amen. He wanted to be there. Yes. Well, I just can't see that. Well, then you tell me what you see. Let's just decrease and deny everything and go home. No. See, but there's still a headstone that's got to come. I've taught you for 40-something years, and I still believe it more today than I ever did then. That those seals was this headstone to the church. Because you show me something else to come. I'm open. Floor's open. Come show me something else to come. The seventh seal is broke. The Bible said it was. The prophet said it was. But yet we've got 98% of the people that's made it. The seals ain't broke. I agree with you. They're not broke to them. But that don't mean it can't be broke to somebody. Right? And why can't we believe we're that somebody? That's all I'm saying. Why can't we believe the hour that we live in? Why can't we accept it? and say, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Is for us to come to the basis of believing who we are. Don't you see, I believe those seals have to be broke to us. If not, what's your head? I'm asking you. I've asked the question ever since I've been in the message of it. Show me what the head is. I can show you what the cornerstone is. I knew that in the Baptist church. We could read. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. We could read that in the Baptist. All right? We see that settled. It was the Word. Amen. The Word that the disciples had. We're built on what they say. Amen. And Paul turned around to what he say. He said, if anybody comes and says anything contrary to what I've said, let them be accursed. Amen. All right? Come on, church. Have you received a new birth? Are you interested in the stature of a perfect man, a growth development? Yes. To where it would be revealed or made manifest in me and you? Yes. Well, then somewhere there's a head to all of this. Yes. And that head is a revealing of God's Word. Yes. It ain't some head to slap that on you. It's a revealing of God's Word. Amen. That's the opening of the seven seals. Because the seven seals carries the full. Now listen, am I quoting Brother Branham? The seven seals is the full plan of redemption. Is that true? Well, all right, then that's for the full plan of redemption. Where's there anything else to come? Well, Brother, now I'm going to say it because you think I thought it. But if Brother Branham is to come back and preach something else, he can't preach nothing contrary to the Bible. You can't do that. I'm not throwing off on anything. I'm telling you like it is. If he's here, he's screaming in glory about it. Amen. He can't bring something contrary to the Bible. Right. Well, all right, get in the Bible and find out what the Bible says. All right. See, then those seals will cap off the individual for their part. Because each one of us has to have, and I'll quote you the prophet, I'll find this and you remind me of it. He said, all born again believers have a Mount Carmel experience. Mount Carmel's when he fought it out, Elijah did with Balaam. And he said, our Mount Carmel is coming out of them denominations. Oh, when he gets on over into the seals there and we think, well, we just can't understand nothing about the seal. I remember Brother Mote asking, he heard a brother down at Athens years ago preaching. And oh man, he was preaching about them seals and that fourth seal and boy, he had this and he had that. He had Russia, he had China and he had this coming down. After the service, you know how Brother Mote was, you know. Most of you know him. He had his little ways. He could get under your skin just to hire. And he walked out there to the brother, and he said, now, brother, he said, the only thing I want to ask you, where's all them people come from that fights that battle? And he said, I don't know. Brother Moat said, if you read the book, you would. Brother Brown said, on the fourth seal, come on. Am I right? How many wants to quote what I'm fixing to quote? Fourth seal, what did he say? He said, there comes them Protestants and Catholics. Read your fourth seal. Protestants and Catholics coming after the bride, gathering around Israel, coming after that, but it's coming after the bride. That's where you battle that. It's not a physical battle. You know what I'm talking about that way. It starts with our spiritual condition and then winds up into a physical battle. Elijah was fighting it out with Ahab. Right? But one day he had a physical contact with Ahab. He whacked his head off. All right? Now listen, church. Get what I'm talking about then. See, we have our own personal experience. That God speaks to us personally. I believe in that. Yeah, but God only speaks to the prophet. Come on. Well, the word only comes to the prophet. Come on. How long are you going to stay here? The prophet said that the word comes to the spirit field. Well, I guess there's none of us spirit field except the prophet, according to that. Well, what are we doing here? Huh? What are we sitting here for? Let's go home and forget the whole thing. No, I'm just dumb enough to have stayed with it all these years. I'm just dumb enough to go on through with it. Dumb is the best way I could say about who I am, because that's the way I consider myself. But I consider one thing. This message come to speak and tell of you and I. Did the prophet say, said, there'll be a word-born bride. Listening yesterday where he said, to be delivered, most of you know this birth name, be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. We're to be delivered of a new birth from Malachi 4. Malachi 4 is the thunders that bring forth the pyramid and all of the things. Where are we at? What are we doing? Are we dying? But you see, it's got to be revealed. See, it's got to be revealed to us. Not to just talk about it, but to be revealed. The prophet was quoting a while ago, said, when you begin to say, I and my father, one and these other things, he said, the shuck will pull away. Well, if we don't shuck pull away, we'll start saying, I and my father's one. What does it mean to say, I and my father's one? That means he said, hear ye him. Oh. But that's only for Brother Branham. Now show me where that's at. He was the example. Sure, he was the start. He was that. But not just for him. It's for the bride of Jesus Christ. When you begin to realize who you are and what you're doing here. Well, I just don't see nothing going on. Well, then you don't realize who you are. You don't listen to what I've been saying. Now back up just a hair. Listen if you was listening to what I said. The Lord Jesus had River Jordan. He come through the stature of a perfect man through those things. He grew in grace and knowledge. Is that what the Bible says? Why? Because that human element was a flesh outside. But he come to a place that he was taken up on Mount Transfiguration and said, hear ye him. He said, fine, you ain't going to get nothing else from me. You're going to hear him. All right? See, did not the prophet come exactly the same way? He had the Ohio River. He had all the years of the stature of perfect man. He had the opening of the seven seals. He went there, connected, came back, and preached to the bride. Well, all right, where's our part? It's to stay simple. Where's our part? Get a new birth. Study the Word of God. Growth, development into the stature of a perfect man. These things until it comes to the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. What? The time to make known. Now here I am still quoting it. What? You make him known, he'll make you known. I ain't concerned with it. I'm a human being. I don't want to see nobody leave the church. Everybody thinks I'm so hard. No, I want to see this church over flooded to where they would be running out to the seams. Right, I want to follow in God. But there's one thing about it. I want to walk in that word. And just rest in that word and follow it. Because I know that's the only hope I got. Is the opening of the word. All right. Then what would it wind up being? So we go through the adoptions and we come out to that basis. To the bride's got to come to a place that she can say, I and my father are one. Amen. Come to the place that she can say and talk about it, all right? No, I've got them in there, but don't worry about it. The prophet said it would come to a time that it would not be him talking, it'd be you talking. Amen. Is not that according to, what is it, Matthew 13? Or whatever it is, through there 11, where, you know, saying, to where, it's not I that saith, but you. You. It's left up to me and you. It's left up to somebody to become the word. Is that a hard thing to comprehend? to just simply become what God has wanted us to be. That would become our husband to the basis that we would be so much in love with him until we care less for these things of the world. And we're still human. Right. But to come to the basis of saying, I and my Father are one. A bride. And do you realize now, watch what I'm getting at now. Okay, here we go. Whack, start. What has been my thought? What has been our thoughts from the beginning, and this is number six message? That we would not be dealing with what was back there. That's faith builders, that's wonderful things. But we've had that 50 years, and we are not changed yet. All right? But not to go that way forward to try to find something out there that will get us to something. But come right back to where we are and do what the prophet said. Not behind and not forward, but to realize what's taking place right now. We can look out there and see the world and it falling apart. We can see the people of this message and it falling apart. Just leaving by flocks of them, churches and all. Right? We can see that taking place. But to see that means there's something happening. Yeah. Like I was reading there the other, or talking to you the other day, and I found out where Brother Branham said, and it hit me. I mean, you can't turn a corner now if they ain't building a building. You can't turn a corner if they ain't building a house or a bunch of houses or condominiums or buildings or something. You want to take a little ride down to 85 and look at that building down there, what did they say, 100 or something bays in one building. Now they got the big battery place over there. They said going to work 2,000 to 5,000, 7,000. And all these houses just popping up everywhere. Why? Because they're going to sell it to them people. But the prophet said, look at all the building that's going on. He said, that's a sign of the end of all time. And my goodness, if that's happening around here, what's happening all over the world? Huh? Building, 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 everything. Crash shall prosper. All right? But listen, do you realize then, I'm putting this on a basis of my own thoughts, because that's the way I'm going to stay and approach it, because I always have been. Somebody's got to realize who they are and what they're doing. Now, somebody's got to realize that. Somebody's got to come to the basis of saying, we're here. Without having to say, I don't see it. Yeah. Somebody's going to have to make it manifest. As I said this morning, with what they without us, they means there's somebody without us, that means us. They can't be made perfect. And I hope you understood that perfect. That's the same as Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. All right, because that word perfect means complete or finished. We're not complete today. We need the redemption of the body. I believe Brother Branham was a full manifested Son of God, adopted, positionally placed in the body of Christ. Don't you? I do. I always believed that after I heard it. But you know what? He didn't make a change. He's waiting on us. Oh, no, 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 no. Okay, then you tell me what you're waiting on. I ain't making it the wrong way. You are. Me. All right. So everything's waiting on me and you. Well, I tell you what, me ain't no work. You ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing either. Boy, that's really an answer. When are we going to begin to say, Sister Trudy, she is what, 80 now? 81. That's Trudy McGillicuddy. You're not Trudy McGillicuddy? Why? your papers and all this thing shows you're truly McGillicuddy. You understand what I'm doing? She's been 81 years Trudy McMillan, which she wasn't McMillan to start with. She was Trudy something else and then turned to McMillan by marrying Tom. In other words, Sister Cleta, just a little over 80. Somebody come along and say, Sister Cleta, you're not who you think you are. Well, you've been that all your life. I've always told you, I'm sorry, I'm just blunt. Because that's the way I think. If they come and told me today, I would inherit $10 million, and all I had to do was agree my neighbor out there, which it was that true. The neighbor in the house that Wade's house, that man, when they was talking about adopting all of us children out, when daddy had died, there was 9 left, and they were going to adopt us out. That man was supposed to have been my adopted father. You know what I would have had? A pocket full of money. Right? Well, if they come and told me now, said, well, we just change a little bit here and make you that, give you $10 million, I'd say jump in the lake. Because I've been a Dale all my life. And I'm proud of it. Not proud of the name, because ain't nothing good about any of the Dales or any of us. But I'm proud of the fact that I've been able to live a life. Telling someone yesterday, I'm very proud of the fact of living a country life. It put instilled in me greater things than anything could ever be thought of, as to be a human being living in just an humble situation. Plowing a mule when I was 7 years old. Living, digging out dirt on a farm, trying to make a living. Got married. Made 40. When me and Nanny got married, I made $42 a week. She sat down one day and talking to my dad-in-law and telling him what it was and how that we was living off of that. We was paying on a car. We was buying groceries. We was paying rent and was paying for furniture. He said, you can't do it. I guess that triggered him a little because he was always good to us. He would help us in any way, you know. But listen, church, $42 a week. But you know what? We lived. You know what? My wife made her and Anna's clothes. You know what? She made me jackets. She sewed. The only thing that done, she worked in a factory. Most of you know it. She worked for about 3 months in our married life, and she worked in a clothes factory, and they laid it all off, and naturally she was young, and they just laid her off. Well, I thought, praise God, she ain't working no more. And I still wasn't making much more. Probably might have been still making the $42 a week. But anyhow, they started hiring back. She's the first one to call. I said, now that's a mess. Well, Wade was on the way. So I told her one day, and I meant it. I was serious. I said, okay, honey, I've got to want to talk to you about something. I just don't want you working. And I said, now what I'm going to do is make you a deal. If you think you can make more money than I can, you go to work and I'll stay home with the kids. I'm serious. But I said, if you think I can make a better living, well, I'll go to work and you stay at home with the kids. Well, you know why she took that? How many women of you would be saying, bless God, I'm going to work and get me some money where I can go out and spend it on this? Yeah. You know what? We lived. You know what? We had a hard time, but we lived. And I wouldn't take anything for that. Bought our first old home. Neighbor there, he was real good to us and everything. He tried his best to adopt Wade. As a matter of fact, Wade's worth $10,000, whether you know it or not. Because that guy offered $10,000 to let him adopt Wade for his son. You know, and, you know, we lived there. Well, he said, I'll sell you the house back there, Sam. And he said, you're paying $35 a month rent. I said, I'll just sell it to you for $35 a month. Well, I used to have that. We kept it a long time. We had a deed. He wrote on the back of that deed thing. I guess we still got it somewhere. And he showed every payment we made, being $35 a month. Well, you know what? That's home. You know what it had? It had four rooms and a path. And some of you ain't old enough to know that language. It had four rooms and a bathroom Johnny house sitting out in the woods. My mother-in-law came out one time and she was mumming to Nanny and she said, she kind of started out the door, always kidded her. She didn't like to be kidded. I just kid her. I said, hey, Miss Cash, make sure you flush that thing before you come back. It was just, we lived, but we had a good time. But then we started doing better. Got an opportunity to get better jobs. Wound up having to drive 70, 80 miles one way. But that was all right. She stayed at home and I done. You say, are you telling us women to quit? I'm telling you what you and your husband agree on. That's what I'm telling you, what you and your husband agree on, because I ain't going to get into no business trying to tell anybody what to do. I'm going to tell you what you agree on. But you know what? The point is what? We made a living. We done. We lived. And then we begin to gain a little ground and become almost well off enough to buy something to eat. I didn't know what a piece of chicken was until I got married. I always thought it was wings or legs and things like that because we didn't eat them. You've seen the movies and things where the old preacher goes home with the family, you know, to eat Sunday dinner. And the kids are out in the yard and the preacher's sitting there eating a chicken. That was the way we lived. But we lived. I'm glad of it. I enjoyed it. Didn't bother me. And see, I wouldn't change for nothing. I wouldn't change. It wouldn't make no difference. Because, see, I've done. All right, then we heard of the message. We heard of the message there in the late 60s. 66, Brother Moat and I started riding to work together. And he started talking about God sending a prophet. And we began to accept that. And 67, somewhere in the 67, we left the Baptist church. Went out, started in this message. Been enjoying it ever since. Bad days, hard days. Had a lot of heartaches in this message of a lot of people turning against me because of the way I believed and what I said and what I stood for. But still, I don't have no problem. And I have no hard feelings against anybody. What I put under the blood stays under the blood. If you dig it out, you got a problem. That's the best as I can say it about anything. You live your life before people and let them be that. Sure, I got plenty of problems. You don't talk about problems, we prop up all day on them. But now listen. Can you say you've enjoyed yourself? Can you say right now that you're enjoying? Can you say right now that you're enjoying the fact that you're in this message and believing it and doing it? Would you like to walk across the road and be happy and joyous and do everything and become a good denominational person? Or you'd rather sit and listen, Brother Dale beat you to death. Well, what about it? Danny, where are we going? Have you ever thought about? Oh, we're going to cover predestination. It may take a couple of messages. That's all right. Brother Branham, we've all been messed up on predestination because we had it made up. We, well, I'm glad I fell off of that thing because if I hadn't fell off, I'd have had to done it later down the road. We had it all figured out about predestination was this way or predestination was that way. And now in the message, they got this predestinated, these seeds, and they run this seed and they run that seed and run backwards and forth. All in predestination. Somebody asked me a question. We might even cover predestination. Because listen, it's very simple to me. Very, very simple. The Bible says it, and the prophet says it. Those who he foreknew. All right? Now we got to go with that. For those who he foreknew. He did what? He predestinated. So how does he predestinate? By his foreknowledge. That goes back before the world ever begun. See, that's what everybody wants, foreknowledge down here, but then go back before the world. The prophet said it goes all the way back. The Bible said it. I just read it to you. I just read it. The Bible said that we're predestinated unto adoption. And your prophet said there was never an age like this age. Because nobody's ever reached this age. You're thinking about glory and how great that I feel about that this builds me up inside to think what God has reserved for this end time people. Then it just tired my heart out to see us just going and casting it down and just making it a garbage can. But he predestinated us unto adoption. You realize what that means? You're predestinated to a place. Predetermined to be at that place. Now you see what I've been doing for 40 years? Trying to get you to realize where you're at. You're predestinated to be sitting right here tonight. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God before the world saw you would be sitting here? If you don't, you need to get you a Bible and read it. Because dyers were, if there's anything of the future to be a faith builder, it's a great part of realizing what's taking place right now. Amen. The prophet said we're predestinated by foreknowledge. He said not to the basis that God just picked out one and didn't pick out the other one. You want to read them? He said, but he predestinated us. And he said, there's no way that cannot come to pass. Right? You mean there's something in the Word of God that can't come to pass? Come on, I'll quote you. Big man in this message said there's things in the Bible that me and the prophet talked about that will never come to pass. Well, now, that's his business. But I never did believe it that way. I don't believe he's talking to the prophet. That there was things in the Bible that wouldn't go and come to pass. Why would he put it in the Bible? I call it stupidity. Maybe it shouldn't be said that strong, but that's all right. I disagree with one thing. If God said it, it's going to take place. And you can do all you want to, and you ain't gonna stop it. But if you don't believe it, you can hammer all you want to, and you ain't gonna come to it either. Is that simple, predestination? He said, God don't predestinate the way we think. He said, the way we think, he said, we predestinate like put you in a pipe and just push you through the other end. He said, where would there be any overcoming or anything involved if it was that way? See, God wants you to realize what you're doing. Amen. When we get out of this world, we can talk about what we've seen, what we've done, when we saw this, when we saw that. You remember when you saw this right here in the Bible? I think it'd be a glorious time. Amen. To be able to just sit down and talk about it. Right? He didn't predestinate one to be saved and one to be lost. No way. He predestinated by foreknowledge. All right, go ahead and pull this one up for certain because you'll want it. Go to number 4, brothers, on the screen, and let's just get this one because this one is the one that we hang together with. Because here's the Smyrna Church Age, or the Church Age book, ever which way you want to go, 154. And he's talking about, before I close this subject, I know there's a question in your minds. You will wonder, you will want to know if I believe in the doctrine of preexistence. Now listen to it. I don't believe in that Mormon doctrine of the preexistence of souls any more than I believe in reincarnation or transmigration of souls. Now, he said he didn't believe in it. Well, now you quote all you want to. You're going to have to come back to that one. Because here's why. Be careful here and see this. It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the word or seed. Now he's got a little word in there that's picked up a lot. Eternally. All right? Let's think about predestination for a minute. So it's not that he picked one and didn't pick the other. It's that by foreknowledge he knew who would accept him and who wouldn't. Is that simple? That's a simple plan of redemption. All right? He knew who would be saved and who wouldn't. He knew that before the foundation of the world. Okay? So then everything, everybody, every gnat that bats its eye, everything that ever happens in the world, God by foreknowledge knew that would take place. You agree? That's a simple summation of foreknowledge. That he knows everything. There's nothing that could ever happen that he didn't already know it. Right. So we're not pulling anything over on him to try to fool with our little thoughts of predestination. Because that's where we'll come to. Well, if it's that way, what hope have I got? You never heard that argument? People say, what hope have I got if it's already by foreknowledge? But just remember what he done. He predestinated by his foreknowledge. He didn't make it take place. He just knew it would. Simple logic of understanding that the Bible is the Word of God. And that he predestinated everything by his foreknowledge. That's right. Now you follow me?
Yes.
Thought number one. Everything, everybody, every move, everything we do is all predestinated by God's foreknowledge.
Right.
If not, throw it away. Because you have him picking and choosing. And that don't work. All right? You say, well, now you just make a predestination like the Baptists and the thing. All right? We had some predestination. Presbyterians had a predestination form. All right? And you know, we could read that those who he foreknew, you don't remember reading that in the Bible? Those that he foreknew, he did predestinate. Well, what that means, those that he knew. See, you're getting the wrong way to go with it. He knew what you and I would want. That's why the thing formed can't say, why did you form me this way? Because he didn't form us that way. My brother is a Methodist preacher, and he said, God can't condemn me for living in sin because he made me a sinner. I said, wait just a minute. He didn't make you a sinner. He made you with an equal choice. And he's 12 years in college. I said, he made you with an equal choice. And you chose which one to go. So you can't blame him for the choice you made.
That's right?
Because you made the choice.
Right.
Okay? All right. Now, so then, if that be true, now, if you follow me that way, and I ain't asking you to bow down, oh, I believe that, Brother Dale. I'm just asking you to be sensible. Does that sound okay? That God predestinates by his foreknowledge. Now let's go to the next step. All right? The prophet said it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. See, every person comes predestinated by foreknowledge. Right? Every human being, every movement, every gnat, every time it bats its eye, everything come by God's foreknowledge. Right? But it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally. It's the word or seed. All right? Now, get right here and hold on just a second. Irregardless of what you think about predestination, there's got to be somebody to make live the word. True? Simple? Simple terminology, simple logic. There's got to be somebody to make it live. There's got to be somebody for it to live in. All right? So then God, by his foreknowledge, knew that Martin Luther would be on the earth. And what he would do and all the things that would go in life. By his foreknowledge. But at the same time his foreknowledge let him know what he'd do, his foreknowledge showed there'd be a seed. The seed was the just shall live by faith. Come on. It wasn't Martin Luther. God said. God said it. There's your seed. Predestination. Predestinating eternally. So Luther's message was eternally predestinated, which meant it was going to come to pass. All Luther got was the opportunity for it to live within him. Because that's all I'm bragging about anything. It's what God does. You realize all I'm making out of you and me or anything on predestination you come to, we're going to come to one place. That God did choose you. Because he knew you would accept it. There's his foreknowledge. So Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther now. That's predestinated by his foreknowledge. He knew everything he'd ever do and would do and wouldn't do. Martin Luther. What about him being a great man like he was and picking as the church age messenger? And you know what he said? He said them Jews ought to be took out and killed. Don't sound too good for a man of God. But you know what? That wasn't predestinated eternally. That was the foreknowledge of God that knew what Luther would do. Right. So what? There in that 1500, when it was time bracket, there came a time, back up one, two sermons, a time not far, right? Not a time for Luther to come on the scene, a time to Luther to come on the scene. Not far, because it just puts it in the wrong category. Coming back to that message, it's a time to all things. So when that word struck the earth, by God's foreknowledge, there was a man there that would receive that word and go forth and preach the just shall live by faith. Didn't matter if it cost him his life, cost him everything. That's not just foreknowledge. The man and his message become one. Well, I hope you can follow it. The man and his message became one. And he walked out there and he said, I don't understand it. I've read this, preached on it, had commentaries wrote on it, and everything else here. What is it? Is it Romans or Ephesians? Which one? Predestinated? Martin Luther coming out there. Or the just shall live by faith. And he wrote, they say, right on the side of it, alone. I got that wrote in my Bible. He predestinated by his foreknowledge. But a man had to be there for it to live in. The seed had to have a place to land. Right? And see, when it did, that right there. Now listen to what I'm saying. Predestinated unto adoption. There's your new birth represented in Martin Luther. There's your predestinated unto adoption. It started right there. Started well in back, but I'm just finalizing it to where you'll understand. So in the days of Martin Luther, that new birth that he received was the message of the just shall live by faith. There's your seed. The message. The man become one with the message. When he first started out, he probably would just, you know, I don't like this. I don't, because it's according to his records and things. Martin Luther was not wanting to leave, according to, I've got his one book on it. He didn't want to leave the Catholic Church. He wanted to convert the Catholic Church. That's why it wound up in Reformation. He wanted to convert the church. But then when he seen he couldn't convert it, he just stamped his thesis and said, here it is. The just shall live by faith alone. Or only. Whatever you want to put it. So there was a predestinated unto adoption for Martin Luther. Just a new birth. And remember what I said when I started. Don't get confused about it. One, two, three, adoption. Because remember, we had to be adopted into the family. Luther was adopted into the family by the new birth. You was adopted into the family by the new birth. Amen. All right, so keep it in the right order. All right. See, then along come a man named John Wesley. The world had got so messed up under Luther's teaching, but not under Luther. I remember a brother at my house, he was talking about something, and I pointed my finger down on what Brother Branham said. I said, would you mind reading what Brother Branham said? He looked down there and he said, I ain't reading that. I said, come on, you talk about reading the message. You talk about read it, Brother Dale. Read what that says right there. He said, I ain't going to do it. You know what it said? Brother Branham said, the Lutherans denominated and died. Now, do you need that quote? He wasn't there handling it. See, it wasn't Luther that denominated. They denominated his message. The Lutheran denominated and died. I ain't got no problem reading what the prophet said. But you see, he was trapped. He knew he wasn't going to open his mouth because, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just that independent. But I meant for him to say something. Just like that fella told me one time. He said, 1 Corinthians 13, or what it is about the gifts. And all he said, Lord, just take that out of the Bible. I said, hand me your Bible. I'm serious. I said, hand me your Bible. He said, I ain't getting my Bible. I said, you know better than hand it to me. You know what I'd have done? I'd have tore 13 out of it. Then I'd have went and bought him a new Bible. That wouldn't have been no problem. But he knew better than to hand me that Bible because he knew I was going to tear it up. Because you see, that's not right. Martin Luther brought a message. Those people are beyond the curtain of time waiting on you and me. Whatever you believe about all these others, whatever, just remember the New Testament and it is waiting. But when John Wesley came on the scene, he saw the world in such a horrible situation. Till he started preaching sanctification. All right? Sanctification started dealing with the individual to bring an individual to the place of cleansing us, setting us aside, getting ready to bring forth. And as John Wesley began to teach that, he said, Lo, said, I came to America to convert the heathen, and said, come find out I needed to be converted myself. See, he saw the message then. John Wesley was predestinated eternally from God. Not John Wesley, the man. The message that he brought. But there had to be a man for the message to dwell in. That way you're not doing away with this and trying to put this over here. Put it right. There had to be a Lord Jesus Christ to walk upon the earth to be God manifested in human flesh. Right? And John Wesley began to bring the message. He was predestinated to a position. Luther was predestinated to justification. Wesley was predestinated to sanctification. What do you mean? Predestinated eternally. Not themselves, not the human body. Those had to be there. But the message was predestinated. That seed struck the earth, or the just shall live by faith. Turned the world upside down. John Wesley come forth with a message. Azusa Street came forth with a message of the gifts, the prophet would call it, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Your prophet said, just like on the day of Pentecost. And see, people don't believe that, so how are you going to deal with predestination then? Forget it. If you can't see that the Holy Ghost was the same Holy Ghost on Azusa Street as it was in the book of Acts, then what Holy Ghost you got? If you got a Holy Ghost here and another different Holy Ghost there, well, where's the Holy Ghost is at? No. See, the word struck, and that began a situation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when your prophet came on the scene there in the 30s and time, he started preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The gifts. The restoration of all things. He began to preach about Malachi 4. He began to talk about them things of how the word was to be restored. And it started an adoption. The stature of perfect man began to be taught. Huh? Are predestinated. What was Azusa Street? Come on, folks. I've had him right here in this pulpit. I'd done approached a man before then and told him he was wrong. But a man stood in this pulpit right here and said that the Pentecostals was wrong. That there's false. I'd done told him that wasn't right. That didn't change him. But you see, oh, he's got a big name. Yeah, he was the one that said he couldn't preach error. So you go do what you want to. You'll know who I'm talking about. I'm just being serious. You realize on Azusa Street, that was the most glorious situation that ever happened. You realize Brother Branham, right after Azusa Street made this statement, he said they were closer to the coming of the Lord than we are. You need to quote. I know there's one head and one head that goes with it that'll agree with it. We can find that quote for you. Because it was God moving among the people, living in the people, and the gifts and signs and wonders, not just gifts, but signs and wonders. And then the word began to come forth. The prophet coming forth bringing his message. And as he began to bring his message, it began to develop on through into the stature of perfect man, into and then on into the opening of the word. Now, if you follow what I'm saying, so I'll make it fast now, because 20 to 4, and we'll quit. You realize what I'm talking about. If there's any questions, you'll be glad to try to answer them. Predestinated unto adoption. Not predestinated unto foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is not adoption. Predestinated unto adoption. To where that it would come, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, statue of a perfect man, come out the opening of the seven seals. Somebody's predestinated to that place. You understand what it says in Ephesians that we've read? It said he predestinated us unto. Unto means travel from here to there. Unto those drums means I've got to make a journey to the drums. Unto. In this day, God is expecting a people because he's already brought us the word. Yes, we already have the seed. What do we need? Well, where's it at, brother? It's spread around his message, which is the Bible. Amen. That's the eternal part. And that means somebody's going to be here. Somebody's going to make this message live. It may be if I tried to preach. that Brother Branham come off of out there. And when he come off from out there preaching and getting those still, it was just a short time Brother Branham was off the scene. Because that would have been 63, 3 years or so, or less. He preached the seals and he done left the scene. The Lord Jesus had done. I'm trying to get you to see it. I ain't trying to make no flowery bed of ease, nor make no bad soft soap story. But both of those examples wound up costing those two men their lives. You realize what we believe, what I'm saying here, that I saw this 40 years ago, that if I preach it and get it to the right place, somebody's going to die for what they believe.
Amen.
It may not be me. But if I die, don't write on my tombstone, he died as a failure. Don't write on there, he was all pity. But, oh yeah, I'm a human. I get down and out. Oh yeah, I get to myself and I cry and I weep. But somewhere, somebody is going to catch the message. Right? And it's going to be made manifest. And it will be the seed. Because the seed is what comes predestinated eternally. Not the person. But there's got to be a person for it to live in. Come on. There had to be a Martin Luther. Jim Jones couldn't handle it. Samuel Dale couldn't handle it. Neither could you. We couldn't handle Luther's message. He was a special picked man because God could look down through and see exactly what it would take. What did Brother Brown say about Abraham? He said God knew that Abraham would teach his family. Right? He had his confidence in a man he knew would teach his family. Why? Because his foreknowledge, he looked down the street of what he'd already done. But is God out there waiting on me and you? Come on, I'm ending it with this part. Come on, musician. Is God out there waiting on me and you? Is God back there waiting on me and you? God's here.
Amen.
Your prophet said it one day. He said, I'm not saying he's coming. I'm saying he's here.
Amen.
When are we going to begin to say that? He's here.
Amen.
Let's believe it. Because if he ain't, he's got to be sometime. Right? But around said, I'll have to back up. Right? He said, because there's certain things got to take place. You know the quote. He said, I've got to back up. Wait on this out here. Well, you know what? I think 50 years later, most of that he was looking for must be here. I'm kind of thinking that. Because what else was he looking for? What else could you have? You realize how close we live to death every second? That's not trying to scare nobody. It's truth. But do you realize truth? How wonderful it is to know God has thought enough of us to tell us what's going on. To send a prophet that he could preach the word and tell you and me what's taking place. And see the hour and the time that we're living. Predestinated, now listen to what I'm saying. I'm trying to get a wording to finish it. Predestinated unto adoption is not back there. Predestinated unto adoption is not out there. Romans 8:23. To wit, to understand right now. To understand right now what's going on. Yeah, but it's, Brother Dale, I tried my best to get you to see it. It cost the Lord Jesus his life to be adopted. It cost Brother Branham his life to be adopted. Now, do we think we're going out of here on a flower bed of ease? But do you think I'm scared? No. Mm-mm. I'm happy. I'm glad we're here. Because it's going to take place. Let's stand. Think on these things, church. Predestinated unto adoption. Meaning a place to come to that has, now listen, and I'm finishing it with this, so you take and get your question. This age has never happened before. Come on, you go back to the book of Acts. I'll go with you and I'll tell you some stories in the book of Acts. They had some problems in the book of Acts. Paul had trouble in the book of Acts. The Corinthians is laying right in with the book of Acts, and the Corinthians is a correction, right? Are you expecting it all to get easy, brother? No, I'm expecting it to get worse. I'm expecting to go home. I don't do it, but I expect to go home and turn on the internet and see how many more people left a message and gone out of it. How many they've led away and what they've done with it. No. Don't make me happy. But it makes me happy to see Jesus Christ and see him live. What do we got?
Brother. Page 266.
Anybody have a need?
Because he lives, I can face God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive.
Like I was saying to Donnie, they told me on Friday at work one time that I had high blood pressure. Said it's been running a while like that. I said, I'm going to the doctor Monday. I ain't worried about it. But I said, I ain't going to worry about it either. I'm healed. I go into the doctor's office and the nurse runs the blood pressure. And she said, wow. I said, oh, is that bad? See, I didn't have no unbelief. It didn't matter to me what it was. I didn't care what the machine said. I said, you mean is that bad? She said, no, it's that good. Said it couldn't be no greater. I asked her. I said, do you believe Friday my blood pressure was like 180 over 110? She didn't say nothing. You know how the doctor comes in when he gets through your little physical telling you, and, oh man, Sam, your blood pressure's great. I said, would you believe on Friday my blood pressure for quite a while had been running 180 over 110? He said, no, I wouldn't believe it. I said, goodbye. I walked out of the office. My wife was sitting in the car. I said, if you expect me to go to the doctor, you find me another doctor. I ain't going back to him. But I told him what happened. I had records of what happened. And for him to say, no, I wouldn't believe it. I wasn't going to an unbeliever. All the doctors I go to, they may not believe what I believe, but they do know a little bit about what I believe. They know I believe in healing. And they told me that I had leukemia. I just looked at that man and laughed. I said, no way. And I said, besides that, you ain't giving me no chemo. And I ain't telling nobody in here not to take it. I'm telling you what I done. If you ain't going to give me all that. He sent me over to a cancer specialist. That guy looked at the papers. And he said, Sam, said, they say this, this, this. I said, before you say anything, I want you to know where I stand. But I got through telling him, I said, I ain't going to take it. I said, you sit on that side of the table. And you killing them with this stuff. I'm on the other side of the table burying them. I said, I ain't going with that. He started grinning. He said, Sam, I got good news. He said, you've got leukemia, but said it's the kind that you die with, not die of. I said, praise God. But that didn't change my statement. And they can't still prove anything about it. Because I go in one time and my blood, and what you call it, the count of white blood, it'll be up a little bit, next time it'll be down a little bit. It just flows. They can't tell me. It's like they can't tell me what's wrong with my heart. I go in there, my heart's out of rhythm. They said, you don't feel no different. I said, what's a 77-year-old man that did that day? I said, what's a 77-year-old man supposed to feel like? Well, you got a little weak. I said, come on, you don't go ride a tractor for about 8 hours. I said, I work, man. I said, cause I believe God. That you're in contact with God. If not, why pray? But we pray and believe that God is there.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear.
The sick ones among us and the things. And just thank God for healing. Thank Him for healing you. And let Him make it manifest then. Father, we thank You, and we just, what we've tried to say this afternoon, Lord, has been on our heart, the word that we wanted to talk about. A predestinated, eternally word that's dwelling in the hearts and lives of the people in the last days. Father, if we can just believe that enough to where that You can make it manifest, then all is well. And Father, forgive us when sometimes we have our unbeliefs and things. Just cover us and guide us. Bless Wade and them up coming home, Richard coming home, but bless all of those that are sick among us. And by Your stripes they're healed. And we love You in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
'Cause I'm